Bikurim Perik Beis Mishnah Beis 2:2. We now compare certain aspects in which Meiser Sheni and Bikurim are similar, and those aspects don't apply to Truma. So the Mishnah says, Yesh b'maaser, there are certain things that apply to Meiser, and again, Meiser here means Meiser Sheni, uva Bikurim, and also Bikurim, ma she'enken b'truma, that do not apply to regular Truma Gedola. First of all, she'amaaser v'bikurim t'unin havas makom. There's requirements by both Meiser Sheni as well as Bikurim, they need to be brought to a particular place in Yerushalayim. When it comes to Bikurim, it has to be actually to the Har HaBayis, as we learned before. And when it comes to Meiser Sheni, anywhere in Yerushalayim will be sufficient for eating it there, inside the walls. But there's no such thing when it comes to Truma. You can give your local Kohen Truma even, you know, in Tel Aviv, and that's no problem, no reason to bring the Truma up to Yerushalayim. Second of all, Utu'unim Vidui. There's a special recitation that's required, and necessitated both by Meiser Sheni as well as Bikurim. The Bikurim we've discussed a little bit already, that's brought to the base of Mikdash, and there's a procedure done with the Bikurim in the basket in front of the Mizbeach, where the psukim are read, that start with Arami Ovid Avi, the same psukim that we darshan in the Haggadah Seder, the Seder and Pesach, I should say, in the Haggadah. And so that's a special recitation, and similarly, there's a requirement of the Vidui HaMaisra is done at the end of the 2-3-year mini-cycles, agricultural cycles, meaning on the last day of Pesach in the fourth year, on the last day of Pesach of the seventh year, those two Yom Tovs, there is a special recitation said, the Vidui HaMaisra, where one affirms that he has done everything he is supposed to have done in terms of gifts to the poor and giving portions to the Levi and the Kohen, etc., and that he did everything as he should have, and request just as we did what we were charged with doing regarding our cultural process, so too we ask Hashem to look out from his holy place and bless us, continue to let us have the bounty of the land. So that recitation also is a vidui and is required, and there's no such thing when it comes to a truma. There's no special recitation when one gives truma. The Asurin La'onin, they, meaning Meiser Sheni as well as Bikurim, are forbidden to someone who's in Aninus. An Onin is someone who is in the intense stage of mourning called Aninus, which is occurring on the day that his relative passed away. When I say relative, I mean one of the Zion Krovim, the seven relatives that are particularly close to a person. That is to say, mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, or wife. So once it's in Aninus, that first day of the patira, of the death of that relative, and there's a variety of things that one is just exempt from, and it's forbidden for a person to eat Meiser Sheni in the state of Aninus. The pasuk says, actually, in the vidui, a person says, he says, lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, I didn't partake of the Meiser Sheni in the state of Aninus. When it comes to Bikurim, the pasuk says, v'samachta b'chol ha'tov, you will rejoice in all the good. And the drush is that the Bikurim can only be eaten in a state of simcha, and it's impossible to be in a state of simcha while one's in Aninus, and one can't rejoice in that intense state of mourning, and therefore, according to the Tana here, it's forbidden for a Kohen to eat Bikurim when he is an Onan. Worth noting that the Aninus also continues on as the night after the burial, after that first day, Midur Abanan, and therefore these Yisroel would continue on Midur Abanan into that night. Fine, none of that applies to Truma Gadola. A person could eat, a Kohen could eat Truma in a state of Aninus. And therefore Rabbi Shimon, who actually doesn't take, he doesn't accept that the Samachta, you'll rejoice when it comes to Bikurim, as requiring one to refrain from Bikurim if he's in a state of Aninus, he equates simply Bikurim with Truma, since the Bikurim are called Trumas Yadecha. And that being the case, Rabbi Shimon allows a person to eat Bikurim in a state of Aninus. Rabbi Shimon is going to argue a bunch of times in the Mishnah here, and the halacha does not follow him in any of those occasions. So the halacha is that one may not eat Bikurim in a state of Aninus. No, actually, I should have mentioned When we talked about the vidui, the recitation, one says upon the end of the cycle regarding having disposed of and given away all of the various agricultural gifts. So we're saying here that it does apply to Maaser Sheni, but doesn't apply to Truma. So you should ask, well, in the vidui, we talk about having given all the gifts, and that includes both Maaser Sheni as well as Truma. We talk about having given the appropriate gifts to Levi, etc., which is the Truma. So the answer is that what necessitates the recitation of this vidui is the Maaser Sheni, and having been consumed fully, or otherwise been destroyed at beer. So that is, and not Truma. So for example, if hypothetically a person purchased a field in the third year of the seven-year cycle, which is not a Maaser Sheni, but a Maaser Oni year, Maaser Ani year, and there is no Maaser Sheni given. So in such a year, if he didn't have any Maaser Sheni that needed to be consumed or disposed of, so then he wouldn't recite the vidui. The point is that the vidui is specifically caused because of the Maaser Sheni and not because of Truma, and that's the point of the Mishnah. The next aspect is v'chayavin bebiur. They, meaning Maaser Sheni as well as Bikurim, are obligated in biur as opposed to Truma, which is not. Now, what does that mean? That means when one gives Truma to a Kohen, so then the Kohen can keep what you gave him past the biur deadline. You'll recall there's a biur deadline that occurs also at the end of the 2-3 year mini cycles, meaning on Erev Pesach of the fourth year and Erev Pesach of the seventh year, there is a deadline by which time one has to have given away all of his Trumas Amaisras, and that means he has to give Truma to the Kohen. If he didn't, then it has to be disposed of. And when it comes to Maaser Sheni, there's actually a window you can keep the Maaser Sheni for the last week of Pesach and consume it in Yerushalayim. So that's an exception to Biur, that you can keep enough for the week. In any case, the point is once you've given, and let me clarify, and what you have not given, if you fail to give to any Kohen the Trumas that you have, for example, so then at the point of Biur, when that deadline arrives, you have to destroy that Truma. Now, once a Kohen has received his Truma, he's not obligated to destroy it. He can keep it for as long as he wants through the Biur deadline, once he's received it. So the point is that Biur does not apply to Truma, because the Kohen could keep it. But when it comes to Maaser Sheni, there is a requirement for Biur, and you can't keep it past the deadline. By the end of Pesach of the fourth and seventh year, it has to be consumed or disposed of. We're saying here that Bikurim is the same, like Maaser Sheni, that even after you give Bikurim to the Kohen, he can't let it linger. When the deadline comes for Biur, Erev Pesach year 4 and year 7 of the Shemitah cycle, the Kohen too must dispose of any Bikurim in his possession. That's the point of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that. Rabbi Shimon again says that we treat Bikurim like Truma, and therefore, once it's been given to a Kohen, he can keep it for as long as he wishes. Halacha, however, follows the Tanakhama, so once again, there is a Biur deadline, the Halacha, for Bikurim. The next is Vasurin, Kol Shehen Mele'echol B'Yushalayim. Both Maaser Sheni and Bikurim, which must be eaten in Yushalayim, the Mishnah says that they, if they get into a mixture, let's say with Chulin, regular food, so min bimino. So for example, you had one Bikurim or one Maaser Sheni pomegranate, and it gets mixed up with lots of other regular pomegranates. So normally the rule is that there's a bittel. If you're talking about Bikurim, you need 101 pomegranates, 100 Chulin to one Bikurim pomegranate. And if it would be Maaser Sheni, since this is called the min bimino yavash b'yavash, you would need simply a simple majority. If you had three pomegranates, two of them were regular Chulin pomegranates, and one was Maaser Sheni pomegranate, so then you could eat all three of them, even outside of Yerushalayim. However, in Yerushalayim, if that would happen, meaning that you have a mixture that contains Chulin and Maaser Sheni, or Chulin and Bikurim, we're going to say that that mixture is forbidden in any amount, Kol Shehen, meaning even if it's only one part Bikurim for a million parts, like one little tiny pomegranate seed against a million pomegranate seeds of Chulin, the whole mixture is forbidden in Yerushalayim. And the reason why is because although normally the rules of Bitzel apply, as we sort of laid out, there are a number of exceptions where Bitzel doesn't occur midrabanan. And those exceptions typically are where the Isser, the forbidden component, is just considered to be too significant to be batel midrabanan. But another reason why is the rule of called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. If you have a forbidden food, which actually in some scenario is really permitted, the rabbi didn't see a reason why we should go lenient and allow you to let bitul occur when you could just manage to eat the whole thing better. In other words, we're going to say that there's this one forbidden piece of pomegranate and this huge mix of pomegranates, so why should we let you eat that forbidden pomegranate, allowing bitul to occur, when there's a way you can eat the whole mixture all beheter in a permitted way? And what is that? In Yerushalayim. While you're in Yerushalayim, there's no reason, all the Maaser Sheni in the world, you can eat all that pomegranate, chulin and Maaser Sheni together, all in Yerushalayim. So there's no reason, since it's permitted and not Isser in Yerushalayim, it's only Isser when you take it out of Yerushalayim, so therefore we won't let bitul occur. And the same goes with Orla. Excuse me. The same goes with Bikurim. It can be eaten by the Kohanim in Yerushalayim, and therefore, while in Yerushalayim, there'll be no possibility of Bittul, meaning one part against a million is still all forbidden outside of Yerushalayim, because of Devarim Shesh L'Matir, and there are things that could be eaten in a permitted way. In contrast, once or if the mixture is outside of Yerushalayim, and that mixture occurs out there, so then, since outside of Yerushalayim it is Isser and Heter, it's a mixture of forbidden and permitted things together, we don't say that's a davar shesh l'matir. We don't say that's something called a way, it's something that could be eaten in a permitted way, because the Bar Tanura speaks out, this is the shita of the Bar Tanura, we'll stick to that, that since there's a big tircha, a big effort required to bring it all up to Yerushalayim, that's no longer called a davar shesh l'matirin. That's not something that could be done beheter. That would require a great effort to bring it all up, and we don't require you to do that. So therefore, outside of Yerushalayim, bitul does occur in the usual amounts, like I described before, like 101 for the Bikurim, and even simple majority of 3 for the Maaser Sheni. But in Yerushalayim, Asurim Kol Shehen, any amount of Maaser Sheni or Bikurim in a mix makes the whole mixture forbidden and must be all eaten in Yerushalayim. In the case of Bikurim, must be eaten by a Kohen. Next, V'gedulehen Asurim Mele'achol B'Yerushalayim, Af Lazarim V'Lebehema. Now, this means that the things that grow from seeds that had the kedusha of Maaser Sheni or of Bikurim, so the things that grow from that also are restricted as Maaser Sheni or Bikurim. So, for example, if I had Maaser Sheni wheat kernels or Bikurim wheat kernels, and then those got, even if they got mixed up with other chulin wheat kernels, so the whole mixture, if I planted in Yerushalayim, all remains forbidden as Maaser Sheni or as Bikurim, as the case may be. This in contrast to Truma. The usual rule of Truma is that Gedulei Truma is Truma. That's true. That if one takes Truma wheat and plants it, what grows out of the ground will be treated as wheat. That's Truma status also. But that's assuming that it's not adulterated. If you have a mixture of Truma with Chulin and you plant that mixture, so then after the fact, what grows is permitted even to a non-Kohen. So we're contrasting a mixture that contains Truma and Chulin, which would be permitted even to non-Kohanim, with a mixture of Bikurim and Chulin, or Maaser Sheni and Chulin, which, at least inside of Yerushalayim, would be forbidden even to a, in the case of Bikurim, forbidden to a non-Kohen, and in the case of Maaser Sheni, forbidden to be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. Worth noting, there is a Mishnah in Trumos, the ninth parak, which says exactly not like this. It says that Gedulei Bikurim and Maaser Sheni are mutter in a mixture, and the difference is that that's one possibility, is that that's talking about outside of Yerushalayim, and our Mishnah here is talking about inside of Yerushalayim. Another possibility is that Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shimon, who in a moment will say it's mutter, that a mixture of Chulin and Bikurim, or Chulin and Maaser Sheni, is permitted even in Yerushalayim, to non-Kohanim in the case of Bikurim, or to be taken out of Yerushalayim for, etc., for Maaser Sheni. Now, the Mishnah also said it's af lezarim v'le behema, which means the restrictions are not just on the Yerushalayim component of it. It's also saying that we treat the mixture as fully usher, meaning in the case of Bikurim, a non-Kohen simply can't eat the mixture, and in the case of Maaser Sheni, which you normally if it was a mixture outside of Yerushalayim, you could feed to animals. We're saying you may not, because you can't feed Maaser Sheni to animals, you may not feed this mixture. They grew out of this mixed seeds that grew new grain, say, you can't feed that grain to animals in Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Shimon Mater, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He's referring only on the things that grew from the ground, meaning he agrees that a mixture does forbid any amount, but if you had a mixture that plants in the ground, what comes out of the ground is permitted and unrestricted. It's just considered regular chulin. Again, the halachan like Rabbi Shimon. So all those, hari elu b'maaser, those things apply to maaser. Again, maaser here means maaser sheni. Get your pencil out and write maaser sheni. And ubikurim, and also it's bikurim, ma she'ein ken b'truma, but they don't apply to truma, as I just explained.